But let's get into God's word here this morning, and we are going to do a much shorter message then from the book of Proverbs, since we're encouraging everyone to read Proverbs this month. And so I'd like to give us a decent little flavor of Proverbs, and I'd ask you please to stand for the reading of God's word right now, as we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. And of course, these are the words of the living God. So obviously, we all need wisdom. And of course, the Bible is the wisdom of God, and Proverbs is the book, or one of the books at least, we tend to think of and most associate with God's wisdom, and for good reason. There are 915 verses in Proverbs. We can't obviously read them all right now, but these verses, this book, is just filled with the wisdom of God. And really, in Proverbs, we see the constant contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. And we realize very quickly when we read Proverbs that we do not want to be a foolish man. I've often thought that sometimes we think of the word fool as maybe not the biggest insult we might think to ourselves. Well, there's other words I could call someone that are even harsher or meaner or bigger than fool. But when you read Proverbs and what Proverbs says about the fool, you kind of realize, actually, that's the worst thing you could probably say to someone. If you are a fool, then you are not a wise man. You are rejecting the wisdom of God, and you are really not in a good place whatsoever, according to the book of Proverbs. And so we do not want to be fools. We need to be wise men. And again, we see this throughout this book. We're told why Proverbs was written in chapter 1. In chapter 1, right at the beginning, we read this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Proverbs was written to give wisdom, to give knowledge, to give understanding to those who are young in, you know, an age sense, those who are young in a maturity sense, in a spiritual sense. And again, I don't know about you, but I look at all of that as applying to me. I don't think I am nearly old enough in any sense where I don't need the book of Proverbs as much as possible. And I think you'd probably agree as well. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, verse 5 says, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Again, that needs to be us. We'll hear this book, we'll understand this book, we'll draw closer to God through this book, we'll grow in the wisdom of God. And when you read Proverbs and what it has to say about wisdom, we also quickly realize that while calling someone a fool is about the worst thing you could be and say, saying someone is wise is about the best thing that you could say of someone. Wisdom really is the greatest thing. Just listen to a few of these passages right now. Just going to read them. So Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13, we read this. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. Hear that? Anything you could desire is not compared to wisdom. Wisdom is better than anything else you could desire. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Again, that is high praise for wisdom. I read that and I think to myself, there is nothing better than wisdom. There is nothing we should be spending our time seeking and pursuing more than wisdom. Proverbs 4 says something similar, beginning in verse 5. Get wisdom, Get understanding. I like that. Just get wisdom. Go and get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Just get wisdom, we're told. Just go and get wisdom. Again, we all need wisdom. We all need wisdom. The good news is wisdom is readily available. It's right here in the Bible. It's right here in Proverbs. So go and get it. This year ahead, let us get wisdom. It's readily available, and we all need it. And there are so many verses that we could look at. I said there's 915 verses in Proverbs. I did count them myself. Don't worry. They're all there. Okay, they're all there. 915. And we could talk about any one of them. We could be enriched and blessed by doing so. And hopefully you'll be reading all 915 this coming month, Lord willing, and be very blessed by doing so. But just to give us a little flavor of what kinds of things we will read, and a little passage that I think is very appropriate heading into a new year. I do want us to look at the text we read this morning already, Proverbs 13, verses 20 through 22. I will point out, though, that in that same proverb, verse 13 does say this, and Proverbs says similar things elsewhere also. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So again, to despise wisdom is to be destroyed. To despise God's word, to reject God's word, to say thank you but no thank you to God's word, to not read God's word when we certainly can, that leads to destruction. But to fear the commandment, to receive the commandment, to have such a love and respect for God and his word, of course, leads to life and blessing and joy and reward and salvation ultimately in Jesus Christ. And so we need to receive the wisdom that's readily available to us. Do not be the fool that despises the word. Be the wise man that receives instruction. With that said, let's receive this instruction now. So these three verses, verses 20 through 22, let's talk about each of them here the rest of our time together. I think that if we will do what these verses say and understand these verses this new year, we will have a very good year, and God will be honored. We will be blessed. Look at verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. As you read Proverbs, Lord willing, hopefully in this month ahead, this will be a major theme you will come across in this book. There are various verses, and not just in Proverbs, but even in Scripture. But certainly many times in Proverbs, you will read something along these lines. Who we choose to spend our time with will determine a lot about who we are and who we end up becoming. A major theme in Proverbs. He that walketh with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In Proverbs 14, verse 7, we read this. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Why would you spend time with fools if you don't have to? Now, sometimes you kind of have to because of different circumstances. I think we all have fools in our families. I think we all have fools in our jobs sometimes. We all have fools that we come across in life. We're not to hate the fool, obviously. We're to love the fool and to evangelize the fool and speak truth to the fool and pray for the fool, obviously. So we will have to interact with fools sometimes, but if we can help it, why would we spend time with foolish people? Why would our best friends be foolish people? Why would we interact more than we had to with foolish people? A companion of fools shall be destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't think you do either. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. later in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And again, Proverbs tells us these things as well. I won't spoil it for you. You'll read it yourself this month, Lord willing. You'll come across verses that say that same thing, that say what we read right here. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." I want to be wise. I want to be wise. And I'm guessing you do too. That's why you're here this morning, because you want to be wise. You value God's word. You value wisdom. That's why you're here, hopefully. Well, if we're going to be wise, we must walk with wise men. We should seek out wise men. There's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with seeking someone out and say, "You know what? I've been watching you. I've been listening to you from afar, and I'd like to get to know you more. I'd like to get to pick your brain about things." Other older godly people, obviously risen from the word of God, that they would hopefully have for you. There's nothing wrong with seeking out wise people, spending time with wise people, making a point to walk with wise men. This is very, very serious. Again, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's very serious. It's not a companion of fools will have a hard time or life won't be as good. No, we'll be destroyed. Okay, this is very, very serious. We need to spend time with wise people. And hopefully we do that at church. And hopefully we have associations and friendships and growing friendships with those in church and in God's church. Not even just here, but God's people elsewhere as well. But certainly in this local church too. Absolutely. But this is very important. We must walk with wise men. We must receive wise counsel. We don't want to learn the ways of people that are false. Something I do want to read this from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25 says this: "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Again, we need to be very careful about who our friends are. Be very careful about who we spend time with. Because we absolutely will begin to take on the characteristics of those we spend time with. That is just a fact of human nature. And so we must be very, very careful, knowing that if we walk with wise men, we will be wise. But if we walk with foolish men, we will be fools, and fools are ultimately destroyed. So we do not want to get a snare to our soul. We do not want to be destroyed. We need wisdom. We need to be with wise people. Another reason to be in church consistently, to be around wise people and get involved with some of the studies or things we do at the church when you're able, because we want to be around wise people, want to grow in the word of God together. And so walk with wise men, be wise. Walk with fools, be destroyed. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. As is verse 21, which is itself a major theme of all of Scripture. "Evil pursueth sinners," we're told, "but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. In other words, we reap what we sow. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." We're told in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Thank God in his grace and mercy, though we've all sown hellfire, because of Jesus, we can have heaven and eternal life, praise God. On our own, we never could, as we know. But we do reap what we sow. And this is a major theme of Scripture, a major theme of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 says this: "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." Again, over and over in Proverbs, you'll come across verses like this. Over and over in your Bible, you'll come across verses like this, where God is reminding us that it does not pay to do evil. It does not pay to do evil. Evil pursueth sinners. If we're thinking we're going to get ahead somehow by sinning, by not being honest, by not seeking God, whatever the case may be, we will not. Evil pursueth sinners. It never pays to do evil, but it always pays to follow Jesus. We've said that many times here in this church. It's always worth it to follow Jesus. It won't always be easy. In fact, he promises sometimes it will be very, very hard. People may hate you. We've been talking about that. Lord willing, next Sunday, back to life of Christ. Looking forward to that. People hate us sometimes because we love Jesus. But in the end, and even while you're going through it, it always pays to follow Jesus. It never pays to do evil. Evil pursueth sinners. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A verse I've come to love over the years along these lines, Nahum chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Love that. "But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies." Proverbs says, evil will pursue sinners. Nahum says, darkness will pursue God's enemies. Proverbs also tells us that to the righteous, good will be repaid. Nahum says that God will be with those who he knows, those who love him. I hope we really believe this. It's true, whether we believe it or not, but I hope we do believe it. And I hope that we are living it. Because that is the temptation, is it not? That is the battle of the mind that we all face. And we need our minds to be renewed by God's word daily, transformed daily by God's word. If I'm telling you this, if not, if we are not in God's word, then we don't stand a chance. Okay? Amen. If we're not in God's word, then we do not stand a chance. Our minds are so easily overwhelmed. Our human nature so easily overtakes us. And the lies of Satan and the sin around us so easily influences us if we're not consistently in the wisdom of God. And if we are, we'll be reminded of things like this all the time. And we must truly believe this, that no matter how it looks, it always pays to follow Christ. And no matter how it is playing itself out, in the end, it will pay to follow Christ. It will never pay to do evil. It will always pay to do good. And not just in the end, even now it will pay to do good. But certainly in the end, it will absolutely pay to follow Christ. Trust in the Lord and do good, right? Psalm 37:3. We say that verse often as well. And so again, let there be no doubt, evil will pursue sinners. They may not realize it, but it will. Evil is pursuing them even as we speak this moment. Darkness is pursuing God's enemies. Evil is pursuing sinners and will overtake them. God's judgment will engulf them. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Praise God. And then we come to verse 22, which is in some ways the main verse I wanted to actually stress here this morning, going into a new year. I love this verse. I want you to all understand this verse right here. So verse 22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." In other words, what we're told here is to build something. Go out and live a productive life. Go out and build in a godly way. Again, not a sinful way, which many people try to do. Don't try to make wealth or build a business that causes others to sin or in a sinful way. Obviously, that will not work because evil pursueth sinners. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, as this verse says. So don't do that. But in a godly way, build things. Do things. Better ourselves. I think that we have a great chance to do that right now. I know that there's a lot of problems in our nation and in the world right now. And there are. And there always will be. And there certainly are right now, of course. Yet at the same time, in his mercy and providence, God has given us a reprieve from much of the evil we were facing in the past several years, and we thank God again for President Trump. Not a perfect man, obviously, we know that. But at the very least, he loves our country and he wants to defend Christianity. I don't even think he's a Christian, but God is using him to do that. And let's pray he does become a Christian. And, you know, let's pray for him to do a better job even than he's doing, for sure. But we at least have a government at the federal level that's not trying to destroy us like we had prior. This is a great opportunity to go out and build things. A great opportunity to go out and accomplish things, to go out and do something. We could go out and build. I mentioned before in my rather lengthy announcement portion of today's service that there are people who spend a lot of time going down the rabbit holes and going into all these areas and just wasting their lives on, again, this theory and that theory. And here's the thing, even if they turn out to be true, which some of them will be, you have to ask yourself, how does it affect my life right now? And the answer is probably not at all, regardless of what's actually true about some of these things. It doesn't probably affect you at all. Either way, God wants us to go out and do things, to go out and build things, to work, to make money, to save money, to plan for the future. I always think about Luke 19:13. I always say it's the most important statement as far as the return of Christ goes and eschatology goes. Jesus says, occupy until I come. Right? Until he comes, we're called to occupy. Until he comes, we're called to work. We're called to build. We're called to do. We're called to have families. We're called to start businesses. We're called to better ourselves. People talk about this, and this is why it's such an appropriate verse around the new year. Every new year, everybody wants to get healthier and read more and exercise more and eat better. These are all good things. We should all do these things. You could just sum all that up by this. Just go out and build something. Go out and better yourself for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. This is what a good man does. And I know, the Bible tells us there are none who are good. Obviously, none are righteous, none are good. We all need Christ. That's absolutely true. And Proverbs does not deny that. But Proverbs is simply saying there are men or women who do good things and in the process become good men or good women in that sense. They're actually out there doing good things. They're not out there just listening to constant YouTube videos or just sulking away or depressed about how bad the world is or anything like that, but they're out there working. They're out there doing. They're out there building. And that's what God calls us to do, because the only way to leave an inheritance to your grandchildren, your children's children, is by building something to leave. The only way to leave an inheritance to your children's children is if you first took the time to build something that you can then leave to them. The only way you're going to leave any sort of money to your children's children is if you first make money. The only way you can leave any sort of wealth or anything like that is if you first make it. And by the way, and we've talked a lot about this here also, when the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, it means it. Okay, we are called to first and foremost take care of our families. Okay, first and foremost, we are called by God and in his word to provide for our own, provide for our families. And husbands and fathers providing for their families and parents providing for their children. And that does mean you put your family first. And I mentioned before, God's been blessing our church, and he absolutely has, and he's been blessing us financially. Praise God for that. We don't want anyone to ever give anything to this church that should be given to your children, that should be given to your family, because that is not biblical. Okay, that is not right. First and foremost, you take care of your family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if you do not provide for your own family, you are worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith, and you're worse than an infidel. So God forbid we ever do that. God forbid that in the name of helping the church or doing good things in the sight of people or even in the sight of God, so we think, don't take care of our own first. We absolutely need to do that. Again, a good man leaves an inheritance not to the church, but to his children's children. A good man, a good woman is thinking about the future, and not in the sinful way, but thinking, what can I do today? How can I live today? What can I eat today? What can I read today? How can I work today? How can I pray today so that I can be a better parent, a better grandparent, a better man or woman of God tomorrow? What can I do today to be better tomorrow, to actually leave something worth leaving to my family? That's how we need to think. Now, I will say this, there is more than one kind of inheritance you can leave your children's children. For whatever reason, and God has his reasons sometimes for what he allows or doesn't allow in this world, not everyone will have all sorts of wealth they can leave to their children's children. But there is absolutely no excuse for not leaving wisdom to your children's children, to not leaving a godly heritage to your children's children, to not leaving whatever you can. I'm not saying you have to leave $1 million, but whatever you can leave, whatever you can do, whatever you can build, however you can better yourself to then bless your posterity, God wants us to do that. And God wants us to better ourselves in this year ahead for that reason. See, where we go wrong so often in, I think, America and even just our modern way of thinking today, even around the new year. Oh, let's all improve ourselves. Let's all better ourselves. And let's lose weight. And let's get healthier. And let's, you know, whatever the case is. And again, those are good things. But the reason we do those things is not for ourselves, first and foremost. We need to understand we are born into a society, into a family, into a community, and we have responsibilities to that society, and to that community, to that family, and to that church, wherever we are. We have responsibilities to those around us, starting with our families. And so the reason why we should want to better ourselves is so that we can better those around us, so that we can better love our families, better love our communities, better love our churches. Again, it's not a selfish thing. It's a selfless thing that we should be thinking. And that's what this verse tells us. Again, you have to first build it so you can leave it. And that's how we should think. And let me say this too. You're never too young to start doing this, nor are you too old. Again, in the grace of God and the providence of God, wherever you're at in life today, I would say have this mentality. What can I do? How can I start this day, this year ahead? How can I start to better myself? How can I start to build something with my life? Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's starting a family. Who knows what it is, but how can I do something to better my family, to leave something for my family, to ultimately bring glory to God in a world that needs the glory of God? And so a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And then we're told the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And that's an encouragement, is it not? Because again, those who try to get ahead the wrong way, those who try to sinfully do these things, God will see fit that ultimately they fail in doing that. And thank God for that. Later in Proverbs, we read this, Proverbs 28, verse 8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. So again, the same kind of thing going on. The wealth of the sinner will be laid up for the just. And so again, trust God. This is also a statement of faith. We trust God. We do what we can do. We build what we can build. We don't cut corners. We don't do things sinfully. We trust God. And whatever's going on, whoever has what or is doing what, God sees it. God will deal with it. God will take care of it. Absolutely, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So we need to trust that. We need to trust that. We need to leave a godly inheritance for our children's children. And hopefully, a little bit of money too. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a really good thing, actually. Money's good. Power is good. These are good things to have. They are bad to seek on their own for their own sake. They are good to seek for the sake of helping others, blessing your people, and honoring God. And so build something. Build something. Love God. Pursue righteousness. Let God lead all of it. So before we pray then, let's start the year well, right? Let's build for the future. Let's pursue God's wisdom. Let's pursue God's word more than ever before. And I do just want to end with this right before we pray. I mentioned we need wisdom. and wisdom is readily available. And it absolutely is. It's in Proverbs, it's in the Bible. However, woe to us, or woe to any, who, having wisdom, reject wisdom. Proverbs 1, so you will read this, Lord willing, in a few days, hopefully. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20, says this. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So again, wisdom is calling to us all. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. What a scary place to be, where you realize you need wisdom, but it's too late now. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruits of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Again, do not be someone who turns away from wisdom. Do not be someone who despises wisdom. Hearken to wisdom. Receive wisdom. Love wisdom. It is readily available. We must now readily receive it. If we do, God will bless us in this year ahead. It will be a year of grace and wisdom and blessing, hopefully a year of building and prosperity as well as we seek our Lord. And so praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wisdom. And again, we thank you for your word that houses your wisdom, your grace that allows your wisdom to be revealed, your spirit that allows us to understand your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, for wisdom. We thank you that we can be wise people, biblical people, because you've mercifully revealed yourself to us. And so, Lord, help us, give us grace, give us wisdom, give us a greater love for wisdom, a greater love for the word. May each of us in this year ahead truly pursue wisdom more. Pursue you more. Pursue righteousness. Be in the word. Be in prayer. Really press into you more and more and more. We thank you, Lord, that we can by your grace and that you will help us to. And so please continue to bless us now, even as we sing and enter into the Lord's Supper together. Bless this time. We thank and we praise you for it all. Amen.